Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. If you ever wonder what to say when you pray, try praying scriptures back to God. Today, some real-life evidence that this may be the best way to pray when we're lost for words in coming to God. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on being changed by the Word. In this, the fifth of six messages, our focus is on how the Word of God helps us pray.
You read the Word, you pray the Word to encounter God. You can pray the letters of the New Testament. Once again, for the most part, they are easy to pray, but I'm thinking of people. I have a friend, and I met him at Founders Week, and he shared with me a huge trial that he is going through. And I prayed for him right there, by the way, but, you know, it dawned on me later, what I could have done, and what I'll do, is to pray the book of James for him, the opening verses. Oh, may so-and-so count it all joy when he meets various kinds of trials. Oh, Lord, I pray that he might know that the testing of his faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Give him wisdom, and all the way through. You're just praying now God's word. I'm not just saying, oh, God, bless him. I'm praying something different because the word is filled with opportunities to pray or to praise if you only look for them. Now, I know that I'm giving you a lot of material here, but I am giving you these examples for a reason. That as a result of this, I want you to latch on to something that I am saying today that will change your life. Let me give you some transforming lessons as we try to nail all this down. Praying scripture is praying God's will, God's mind. You're finally on God's page. This morning as I was walking down the stairs, I met a member of the choir. And every time I meet him, I always say, you know, are you walking with God? And he said, yes. And I have reason to believe him. I was just checking. But let's suppose I were to ask you, are you walking with God? Do you have an intimate relationship with God? And you were to say, well, you know, the weather this winter wasn't as bad as last winter, but still, I think we're going to have a lot of cold. Say, okay, are you walking with God? Well, you know, I don't think that the president did right when he made this other decision. Okay, are you walking with God? I've had back trouble, and I've never been able to find a solution for it, you were to say. I think that's the way we pray sometimes. There's a disconnect between what we're thinking and what we want and God wants. God says, I want the best for you, but I also want intimacy with you. And the reason that I'm not answering all of your prayers is to keep pushing you toward me so that you could actually sing Sweet Hour of Prayer and not be lying. Many of us who are a little bit older, we used to sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. How many of you remember that song? Look at that. That draws me. Listen, many of the people who sing that prayer have never had an hour of prayer in their life unless they were trapped at a prayer meeting. And it certainly wasn't sweet. Basically, no intimacy with God. Listen, the prodigal son came home because he was hungry. But actually, I have to tell you, he needed his dad more than he did a dinner. And God draws us to himself by all of the problems, all of the unresolved issue, all of the pain. Why? To keep pushing us toward him, because he says, there's something more that I'm after than answering your prayer, and that is, I want you to walk with me. I want you to enjoy a sweet hour of prayer sometime. After all, Jesus enjoyed the tremendous amount of time Some of us were with Dave Jeremiah the other day, and he outlined for us all the times that Jesus went to the mountain to pray, and over again, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. What was going on? He was enjoying fellowship with his heavenly Father, reminding his heavenly Father that he was his servant, willing to do whatever the Father wanted to. And the Father was well pleased. That's what prayer is all about. It's not checking a box. So first of all, praying scripture, we pray God's will. And as a result of that, God does talk back to us. I mean through his word. I don't mean verbally. You don't get special revelations. You know, I happen to be writing a book on the Protestant Reformation, and Martin Luther encountered some prophets from Zwickau who came, and they had all of these fantastic revelations. They said, if God wanted to give us the Bible, he'd have given it to us directly from heaven. We don't need the Bible. What we need is just these revelations. And you know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is like a dove. So Luther, who was known for his sarcasm, said, I will not accept their revelations, even if they have swallowed the Holy Ghost, feathers and all, he said. So we're not looking for external revelation, but in the Word we see God. And that's why Calvin, I may have mentioned it in a previous message, says that when we approach the Scriptures, we should approach it with the same kind of reverence with which we approach God, because we expect to be blessed and we expect to hear from him. So it isn't just a one-way conversation anymore. Your soul is refreshed. Second, God's word triggers memories and ideas and other people to pray for. I think it's fine to have a prayer list, but the fact is that as long as it isn't just a list where we say the same old thing in the same old way. You might want to pray for the people, and you might want to use the same prayer for all of them, or maybe read the prayer once, but say, Lord, this is my burden for so-and-so. But the point is that I want to make is that in the process of using the Word of God this way, ideas will come to your mind that will never come. If I'm reading the Psalms and I come across, for example, the fool has said in thine heart, there is no God. So how do you pray that? Well, you pray for atheists. You know, pray for Dawkins. The Word of God triggers within our minds other people, other events that we can give thanks to God for and that we can pray for. And that's what the Word of God does. You know, there are some people who are so particular in the way in which they pray, and they have so many barriers that they have to overcome before they come into God's presence, perhaps forgetting that the only way that we come is, after all, through the blood of Christ. Some time ago, I heard about a man, you know, one of these real particular men. God created some of them, thankfully, perhaps not too many of them. But he said that if I kneel, I get my clothes dirty. If I stand, it's so hard for me, my legs hurt. Sitting isn't reverent enough. Okay. So the story goes that at dusk, he was walking across a field, happened to trip, and fell headlong into the shaft of an old well. Are you following this? And there he is, head first, in the shaft of an old well. And he discovered that, you know, you can really pray regardless of the posture. Yeah. Get over it. And so I emphasize that we need to learn to pray. Learn. You say, well, what do I do with the distractions? Well, yesterday I was on Open Line and somebody asked that question. One of the things that you can do is, you know, you're praying and this comes to mind. You might want to pray for the thing that comes into your mind. Either a sin that needs to be confessed, an issue that needs to be given for God. to God, I have to tell you that sometimes I have actually had a pen next to me while I was praying, because I knew that the devil, I think it was the devil, would bring to mind everything I had to do that day. So if I wanted a complete list, all that I needed to do was to pray, and all of these thoughts would come. And if I wrote them down, I didn't have to worry about forgetting them. So, you know, I'd pray, and here'd be a list of things that I need to do. Don't let the distractions, whether it's a baby crying, or whether it is the distractions that come into your own mind, don't let them deter you from concentrating on God. Is God worth 10 minutes of your time in the morning, 15 minutes? Is God worth that to you? Listen, waiting on God, no time is lost. I can assure you of that. God makes it up in 100 ways. I've proven that. He makes it up to us if we spend time with him. Don't be discouraged. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes he says slow. Sometimes he says grow. Either way, you're after him ultimately, not just getting the answer to your prayers.
You know, my friend, as a boy, I memorized many verses of Scripture. As a matter of fact, at one point, I was actually able to quote the entire book of John. It took 2 hours and 15 minutes. And lest you think that this came quickly, I need to emphasize that it took me several years to memorize the Gospel of John, as well as some of the other books. Now, the reason I emphasize that is because I want you to know that the Word of God stabilized my mind during those early years as I was going to Bible school, college, seminary. Now, just know that you don't have to memorize the entire book of John. You'll be glad to know that. But how about beginning to read it? How about beginning to read a chapter a day? And if that perhaps is too much for you because the book of John has so much truth, what about 10 or 15 verses? But what you need to do is to begin to memorize. You need to learn the promises of God. You need to concentrate. And as I have been emphasizing in these messages, it is so critical that you not close the covers of Scripture until you have some truth that is going to help you throughout the day, some truth to focus on. And you'll discover that even though you are going about your regular duties, your mind, like a magnet, will be drawn to the Scripture. You'll remember what you read. You'll think about it. You'll begin to apply it. And you will understand what the Bible means when it speaks about the renewing of the mind through the Word of God. Hope that you call your friends, invite them to listen to Running to Win. And above all, be in the Word of God and let the change begin.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Word of God Helps Us Pray, the fifth message in a series on being changed by the Word. Next time on Running to Win, some take-home lessons on how the Word of God prompts our minds with things to pray for. This six-part series on Changed by the Word can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.